Off the Ball.
GAA.
Who is the best player that you've played against?
David Clifford.
Sam Mulray.
Dermot Connolly, probably. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Zeebo going on his own. He gets the try.
The Red 78.
We're both Munster people.
Whoever gets over the line. Try from Munster.
Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
Hello and welcome to the Red 78, a Munster podcast for Munster fans. My name is Rory O'Hagan from Off the Ball, joined by Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes to discuss Munster's European exit at the hands of Northampton and just where the Reds go from here. We certainly have plenty to discuss over the next while on the Red 78. But guys, thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being here. Thanks a million for gracing us with your presence. Thanks a million for bringing all your rugby knowledge and... thanks a million just for being you guys, basically. How are you, Fiona? How's your weekend?
Good. Well, the weekend was bang average. My own team lost for the first time this season, and I went over to my first away Munster game of the season, and it wasn't the best result either. But look, we're here, and to be fair, they did try their hearts out, and you can't fault the effort. Mm. But yeah, from a rugby perspective, not my best weekend.
Yeah, I got no text from Quinny on Sunday evening after the Old Trafford match.
Oh, so I know.
Gone to ground.
Was there a match on Sunday?
Quinny, how are you, boy?
Grand, thanks. Yeah, it was. Look, with the greatest respect to Munster, I think it wasn't a case of Munster going over there and winning. And, you know, we always knew they were going to be under pressure. Northampton are top of the Premiership on the back of a brilliant win against Saracens and all that stuff. So Munster were always going to be under pressure here. Started to filter out Friday evening and Saturday about, Shane Daly pulling up in training and RG Snyman missing out through illness. It's just blow after blow to this team, isn't it, really? You know, so it was always going to be, they needed a bit of luck and they needed to play for 80 minutes to get a chance to win. And look, it was very disappointing in the end, obviously. But they died with their boots on, essentially, as the saying goes. And I thought the effort level and the work rate was phenomenal. So I was very happy with that. So the result essentially wasn't a surprise. And it wasn't a case of being angry or anything with this team, because I think the effort they put in was just unbelievable. Yes, you know, you have a bench that essentially you have no second on your bench, and you've, again, with the greatest respect to Mark Donnelly, he has played tighter, but he's probably playing more lucid this year with Gary Owen and Stephen Archer, 36-year-old tight end, has to play the 80 minutes. So a lot of things going against Munster, all the injuries, all that kind of stuff. We can talk about that. But overall, I was very proud of them and the effort and the work rate of the players. Old Trafford was a different story. That was very frustrating, given that
so annoying.
You know, you look at the stats in the three Liverpool United games this season. Liverpool have 87 shots on target and lost one and drew two. So anyway.
At the end of it,
Rory, I was saying, right, it's a point, we're not beaten. Because I was waiting for my phone to explode with all friends and colleagues who are United fans. And that's sport. That's the beauty of sport. You have to take the ups and downs. But I was really disappointed for the Munster players. And given the illness in the camp during the week and a lot of players being sick, and then you're playing a team who are flying it, really, you know, a very strong side. So great Munster support over there. It was unbelievable. Sad in the end, but look, I don't think, given the players that are missing and are probably going to be missing between now and the end of the season, a lot of them, I think it'd be impossible for Munster to kind of go on two fronts in the next few weeks. I think a week off from recalibrate, get better, recover, and then go to South Africa, because all focus has to go to the URC now.
It certainly does. All right, there's been plenty of people getting in touch with the show, Fiona Hayes, after Sunday's game and after Sunday's defeat. As Quinny was kind of alluding to there, a lot of people are certainly proud of Munster's performance, given, I suppose, the injuries and, I suppose, the illness that's swept through the camp as well.
Yeah, spot on. A lot of people were just, you know, chatting about that. And look, I have a few here. I'm sorry, I can't read everyone's out, but I'll just pick a couple and we can chat about it. Trevor had the illness in the squad showed us up in the last 15. Lags were white as ghosts by 60 minutes. Mike Haley, Sean O'Brien, Casey all look like death warmed up. Peter Manley wasn't wasting energy at scrum resets and was staying on his knees. Just hope nothing was passed on to the NH lads. John Finucane, lack of power is our real problem and has been for years. The illness in camp, the NH fans, the Northampton fans around were sick of Tadhg Burns screaming, someone do something with that blue scrum cap, can't complain with the effort. We have Paul O'Sullivan said the team fought hard, but in the end, we had no options on the bench to swing the game in our favour. The last changes 24 hours before kickoff really made what was already a hard task even harder. No Ryan, Snyman, Daly were big losses on the day. I thought there's one there. Yes, Peter O'Flynn, you could see the lack of energy very early on in yesterday's match. And although they had stayed in the fight and played well at times, you had the feeling lack of power. So there's a lot of chat about that on the bench would always factor in near the end. This one is very interesting. Eamon, can we stop talking about RG? You can't miss someone who is hardly ever there. He's like the tooth fairy, turns up very rarely, leaves a faintly positive impression, but hardly impactful over any sustained period of time. So what do you make of that, Gwynny?
Well, look, I suppose he hasn't played. He's played so little in the last 4 years. Not through his own fault. He's been very unlucky. And it is a case of, yes, you miss what he can possibly do by being there. And I think this would have been his size and physicality and power would have really helped the team on Sunday. And then having Thomas Hearn coming off the bench would have been very helpful. So it impacts your bench as well. But look, it's just one of those things. It's been a poor, as business kind of ventures go or investments, the return has been poor. Mm-hmm. Not through his own fault. I think he's tried his heart out. The guy's been through a lot with the two knee injuries, even during COVID, losing his mother, not being able to go back to South Africa for the funeral, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think people are a little bit, it's easy to jump on the bandwagon now and say, you know, he's no good and he's this and he's that and say things about him because he's going to Leinster. I think that kind of gives a little bit of leeway to say that. But look, it's all been bad luck and very unfortunate. He came back in training during the week to try and be ready for Northampton and then got a relapse of this bug that's gone around there that's affected a lot of people. And he just didn't make it, which was unfortunate because I think his physical presence would have been very helpful to the team. I often think there in the last few weeks, like, I know we talk about the injuries, but if you had the vast majority of like Klein, Snyman, Finian Witcherly, Adogbo, Dave Kilcoyne, Barron, Roman Salanoa, Ollie Yeager, John Ryan was missing as well. It's just, it changes your whole complexion of your around your bench. And it's come up so much, hasn't it, about the power and the physical power. We know kind of progression in the mall again this week, you know, and that comes down to just sheer size and physicality. If you have some of those guys available, they make a notable difference. And they did towards the end of last season. And that's why Munster had three away wins and the URC and won the competition. So it's just so unfortunate with all the injuries that have happened, and it's affected the team. So RG, yes, he hasn't been around, but look, it's not entirely, you know, you can't blame the guy for not being around. It's just been very unfortunate.
Yeah, and this one as well, last one, Gavin Murphy, Tony Frisch has had his poorest game yet, which isn't surprising given his interview last week. I believe we're looking at buying Dan Kelly out of his contract, which is positive. We'll need a quality replacement at centre.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Dan Kelly. I saw that tweet as well. He played well for Leicester the other night. He's a good player. I presume he's Irish qualified, is he?
Yeah.
Really good player. I think the stuck problem with Frisch, yeah, Dan Kelly's 22. He's a young player, a good player for sure. I think the problem here with Frisch is now that he didn't have a great game. He dropped the ball there. I don't know if you remember when there was an up and under put on the touchline. Zeebo gets up, challenges it, bounces. He wins the ball, pass back inside. Frisch is gone if he catches that. He knocks it on. It can happen. I just think he looked a little bit, didn't look entirely himself. You know, he had two carries on Sunday, Anton Frisch at 13. Two carries. Now, if you start looking at the stats, both our wingers had 10 carries each, which would indicate that Munster were trying to go for that width all the time. And they did really well, and they caused Northampton problems. And they stretched them, essentially, not with unbelievable out-and-out gas, but Sean O'Brien had 10 carries, Simon Zeebo had 10 carries. Frisch only had two. We didn't see a lot of him. And of course it's going to have an effect on the guy. He's doing press last week basically saying that he's declaring for France and he's always wanted to play for France in the last while. I probably am wrong in saying he's always wanted to play for France. He went on an Emerging Ireland tour two seasons ago to South Africa and he was in the Irish picture. He hasn't been selected since and through, you know, the build up to the World Cup and all that kind of stuff. Given the centre quality and depth that was Andy Farrell was preferring, it's unfortunate. Galtier has obviously turned his head. And the reality here is, I think we all know the reality. Anton Frisch is not going to be with Munster next year. I'd be very surprised if he is, because there's most probably going to end up going to Argentina with the French national team. Galtier is going to leave a lot of his first choice players at home. The top 14 final goes right to the end of June. I don't think he's bringing any of those guys who are going to be involved in the top 14 either. So Frisch will end up going to Argentina and he's a non-Irish qualified player. The reality is, I'm sure Munster are trying to address it and try and find somebody and, you know, they've got to try and get Irish qualified. And if they bring in someone like Dan Kelly, well then, look, it's he's a very good player. But I just think it's hard to kind of not be distracted with everything that's going on with Anton Frisch at the moment. Mm-hmm. That's going to follow him around till the end of the season.
Right, let's look back on that Northampton game and 24-14 was how it finished in Franklin's Gardens. Fiona, you were there covering the game for off the ball and commentary duty. How much of a factor was the illness that swept through the Munster camp? Because it's kind of dominated, I suppose, all the post-match discussion. And for you watching the game, when were you aware that you could see that Munster were visibly tiring maybe earlier than they should have?
Yeah, look, to be honest with you, it wasn't until after a game I was talking to Rory inside in the press box and he had mentioned that, you know, that after he Tyke Byrne in the pressers, his throat was at him in a few bits. I hadn't realised it was illness. I'll be honest with you. I did think that second half they were tiring. But I also felt like, you know, they had the likes of Coombs. He's had such a huge season so far. He's nearly playing a lot of the games. I thought the bench coming on, they were slow to bring on the bench as well. So these guys were going hard. They were obviously dominant. Munster were so physically dominant around the breakdown in their clear outs, everything. They put a lot of effort into that first half and really could have even got another couple of scores on top of that. I thought they were far more cohesive of the Northampton in that first half. What it definitely, where it swung for me was when Munster had those two turnovers just in that 10-minute period in the second half. Northampton came out firing. There was a beautiful line-out steal for Peter O'Mahony. Tyke Byrne then had another huge turnover and we got down the pitch. You almost felt that if Munster could score here, you know, that would add to the energy. Mm-hmm. But because I think we conceded in the space of maybe 2-3 minutes, another two turnovers ourselves, it just kind of flowed on from there. And O'Mahony was taken off, possibly, I hope, due to that illness. The line-out started to fade at this stage. The scrum had held up well. It was now starting to creak a little bit backwards. So when these things start happening, mentally, I think you're gone. And Casey had a box kick that went completely out. I think he was taken off within 30 minutes or 30 seconds after that as well. So I think it was just after looking in after that 10-minute period, so around that 60-minute mark, you could see that absolutely killed them. Things were going wrong. The set piece wasn't happening and the energy was just absolutely drained. And the usual Archer, to be fair to him, was trucking around the place. I mean, he had a monster first 30 minutes. I thought he was everywhere. Not only at scrum time, I thought he was carrying. I thought he was real clinical in his clear outs. And Munster, as Quinnie said, were going wide. So there was a lot of work being done in getting to those wide channels and making the ball on a play to be able to move it nice and sharp. So I definitely thought they used a lot of energy in that first half defensively as well. So it was kind of after that 60-minute mark, I started to think, okay, things are going wrong. They still could have pulled it out of the bag, but just that bench, no one came on and took a real, you know, option. The carries were getting softer. We weren't able to get a gain line, and Northampton's defence were absolutely delighted with that, including the crowd, who were now starting to get on top as well.
Yeah, certainly. Quinnie, is it too easy to say that the reason for Munster's defeat is that illness that was in the camp?
No, it's not. It's not. And I wasn't really listening to Fiona there, what she was rambling on about.
He never listens anyway.
I'm only joking. Actually, you know, just if we can go back, hold that question for a second, okay, Rory, because the Dan Kelly situation there, the first I heard of that was this tweet from one of the, I don't know who tweeted it, about Frisch.
Gavin, yeah.
Yeah, Frisch gone and maybe Dan Kelly coming in. Dan Kelly's been capped by England in 2021 against Canada, so he's one cap. He played for the Ireland under-20s in 2020.
20, yeah.
So he's three caps for the Ireland under-20s. So, okay, what I'm assuming here, if it is a possibility, and again, it's only speculation, that he would have to get permission from World Rugby to switch allegiance to Ireland. It's 3 years, isn't it?
It's three, yeah.
Yeah, you can get permission to switch if you haven't been selected. So as long as England don't bring him to New Zealand in the summer, I presume it's a possibility that he can actually switch back. Because it wouldn't make any sense, Munster going for a player who they won't be able to. And there's a lot of talk about, you know, the performance director, essentially, director of rugby, David Nussapora, decides what overseas players are allowed and permitted in each province. It isn't a case of each province deciding who they want and when they want. We know there's a lot of history there to that. Ruan Pienaar's one being the most famous one in Ulster, where he wasn't allowed, they weren't really allowed re-signing because John Cooney was there, had signed, and, you know, he's an Irish qualified player. So I think most people understand that, I think, and I'm not being disrespectful saying that. I think you can't keep a player who's blocking another Irish player, you know, i.e. Munster can't have two non-Irish qualified second rows. The same way the RG Snyman, John Klein thing has become an issue. If John Klein had gone to the World Cup with Ireland, Munster would have been able to keep RG Snyman. So Dan Kelly, just to address the Dan Kelly thing in case people come back saying, oh, he's played for England and he's... I presume that if there's any truth in the rumour that Dan Kelly would say, yes, I'm in a position, number one, to go to Munster and I want to go there, and then I want to switch allegiance. I presume it would be allowed, because in this summer in June would be over the 3 year. It'd be 3 years this summer. Obviously, you'd have to get permission. A guy who's only been capped once by England against Canada, you would imagine that if he wants to do that. Now, maybe Steve Borthwick, who's come from Leicester himself and has probably been impressed with Dan Kelly this year, would have an interest in keeping him for England. So, sorry, I just wanted to address that situation. But look, I was listening to Fiona as well. Like,
We know well you can't.
I can multitask and Google at the same time. But, it's just worth mentioning the Dan Kelly thing. So, because again, all this speculation, but it would make sense for Munster to go after a player. He was really good against Leinster tonight, and I think he has really good quality, and obviously he's played for the under-20s. So to go back to your question then about, was the illness a big factor? Before this game, Rory, I would have thought the team that went out in the field, that Munster are capable of stringing a performance together for 15 or 60 minutes, irrespective of the illness situation. The big fear, and we've seen it a lot in rugby now, is the impact off the bench makes a real difference in rugby. Fresh players coming on, guys with huge enthusiasm, guys who are disappointed not to be starting, and they've 15, 20 minutes to put themselves out there and to make an impression. And we see it happening a lot. South Africa have really heightened the whole situation around how important a bench is, right back to the 2019 World Cup, the bomb squad coming on. And, you know, Wesley Erasmus has done a brilliant job in utilising. Obviously, when you have loads of depth and you have 50-50 called with a number eight or a back row or a second row or a prop, and there's very little between them, and you go, well, I'm starting you for 50 minutes, you give me everything, and I'm bringing a guy on for 30 minutes then who's just as good a player. That's the luxury that coaches all want. You want your impact off the bench. Most recently, we saw Leinster against the Bulls, a dogfight for first 40 minutes. You know, really close game, lots of physicality. Naturally, the fatigue levels start to kick in the second half of it anyway. And then Leinster have a really strong bench come on, and they just change gears and won brilliantly. So there's loads of examples of this in sport.
Well, that is it for part one of the Red 78. To listen to the full episode where we discuss the Northampton game further and we look ahead to Munster's URC running, you can become an Off The Ball member. Check out offtheball.com/join for all the details. You can become a member on the Off The Ball app, Apple, Spotify or YouTube for $9.99 a month.
The Red 78. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot.